And thanks for listening in, being a part of the show. And also, I'd like to welcome, and I was right, I ask you, this is the first time this year we've had a chance to talk to Leslie Van Beek, Canyon County Commissioner, about Canyon County business. Thanks for coming in again.
Thanks for having me. I've missed you guys.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. It's almost
it's March.
Leprechaun Day here. Yeah, that's right.
Before we get into Canyon County business and sharing things going on in Canyon County, I do want to talk to you about one thing because I know you were a volunteer for the recently completed caucus, which happened on Saturday. And as a volunteer, we took calls earlier on Monday this week about, you know, what people's experience were voting. As a volunteer and a worker at a caucus, what was your experience? First of all, give us your location where you were volunteering, and then give us your experience on as a volunteer.
Yeah, sure. I was at Middleton High School, so stomping grounds for my kids, and people were lining up early. So the doors didn't open till noon, but we had people waiting outside probably an hour, and that was tough.
Really?
Because there was some weather issues, but we got them inside. It was well organized. We had a person that was in charge and kind of bulleted that right out. So we got a hand stamp when you checked in. You had to be a registered Republican. It was considered a private event. So you went in. There was supposed to be a video of the candidates. That unfortunately didn't work. There was one person that was upset. But generally, I think most people had their mind made up before they got there, because you look at the win percentage for Trump on the caucus results. But otherwise, you know, I just visited with the crowd, and what you found is people said, well, how's we going to get this many people through? So you got 1,000 people trying to get through. They were done in less than an hour. Because it ran.
And you had 1,000 people at your location, which was quite a few.
It was quite a few. So good turnout. Honestly, I thought it was inspirational. You get people involved in the process. One person was disgruntled because we had to do it at all, but I said, that's a legislative decision, so you got to take that back to the Idaho legislature.
Let me take that one step further then, because as a volunteer, Canyon County Commissioner, and also as a voter, are you good with keeping with the caucus going forward, or would you like to see a return to the primary process?
I am for whatever gets people involved and to exercise their civic right and duty. It is a privilege to vote. So that is a decision that's beyond my pay grade. We'll look and see what our new clerk does to build. He's got great relationships. So that relationship with the Secretary of State and how that goes forward. Dorothy Moon, I'm sure, is going to continue to drive forward on getting people involved. So we'll see what that all looks like.
Since we're on talking about voting, there have been some complaints in the Canyon County area about long lines, long waits, and specifically in Canyon County. You don't see that in Ada County because of the different process that Canyon County has in the voting machines, and they're very expensive, what are they, $30,000, $40,000 each, so you have a limited budget to get them in.
Right.
Going into this election, which could be another really big election where we see a lot of people turn out because they're, you know, you've got the legislature that's going to be elected. You've got the presidential election. Has Canyon County done anything this year, as far as you know, to alleviate some of those long waits that they've seen in past primaries and in presidential elections?
Well, absolutely. The board on February 3rd, appointed Rick Hogaboom. So Rick is deeply involved. He's a detail nerd. I love him. But he is opening up precincts in Nampa. That's more precincts than they've had in a number of years. He's concerned about equipment, troubleshooting, having people on site, getting people involved. Rick's an awesome choice. So that's really great to have somebody that involved in election integrity. You're going to see some movement.
Can I give you my specific address to have him kind of, because that's been my complaint of having to wait a couple of hours in past elections.
And he's sensitive to that. You know, when you have people saying, you know, he said in a luncheon yesterday, my dad called me and said, Rick, I just can't wait in line because you have who votes? The elderly population. So to have people in inclement weather or waiting those kinds of hours, that was a decision made by the former clerk to consolidate precincts. Was it a good decision? I don't think so, because even with the voting equipment, which I did not vote for in 2018, that was marketed as an enhanced voter experience. But the lifespan on that is pretty short. And so I'm not saying automation is all bad, but I like to under-promise and over-deliver, not the other way around.
Let's talk about some things the commission has done.
Okay.
You adopted a 5-Core Trust acronym.
Yes, sir.
Which you created a postcard and sent that to public agencies and representatives. And the trust stands for transparency, respect, unify, service, and teamwork. Is that something that no matter what you do, you have to run things down through that list? And make sure that it passes?
Yes, absolutely. We struggled with some of that in prior boards to have that level of transparency that taxpayers expect. The respect factor, that's one of the reasons I was, I guess, persecuted in the media. It was because that level of respect simply wasn't there. So there were days where every day that I went to work, it was a battle zone. It was a very hostile work environment. That's something that's been a core value for me since I was a little person. So adopting that respect at Unify, that's a out of sequence verb there, but what it means is it's an active process of bringing people together.
You could have said unity, but I don't want to criticize.
Well, I know. You know, my attorney called me up and said, hey, this isn't grammatically correct, but really it's a process every day of coming together and making a decision that you're going to embrace leadership at the executive level that mm-hmm. our taxpayers and our voters have put us in to do for excellence in service and teamwork. So in the absence of that, you're going to flounder and you're going to have, you know, people full of hate and discontent, just trying to keep, particularly at the board level. That was very frustrating to me. You know, I'll just say it because it was said in the public, but the former clerk was determined to keep the Board of County Commissioners in some level of chaos and turmoil because you can parse out those statutory duties. That is not happening right now. We have a very good board that works very cooperatively together. That level of respect, with the addition of our chief operating officer, Kenny County citizens can expect great things to happen because we need those people back in office. That hasn't happened for decades where you've got that kind of collaboration. So really a great win for taxpayers.
That kind of led into my next question that you were mentioning there of how much those acronyms there was helping, because anybody who's paid attention for the last couple of years, there's been a lot of drama with the Canyon County commissioners and the way the whole county has been run.
Mm-hmm.
Has this cleaned a lot of that up? Have you noticed? I know we've seen the clerk has retired.
Yes.
We've had an election since then. The two people that were up, the incumbents, got voted out.
Mm-hmm.
You're up for re-election this year, correct?
Yes, I am.
So have you seen a change with the turnover?
Absolutely. And the reason is when you can't fracture the chief executive officers in the county, that's what we are. And I don't claim that just because I need to wear a title. I claim that because we operate under Title 31 of the Idaho State Statute. So looking at that, when I got there, I had to really lobby and fight hard for things as simple as making our voting records transparent, having people elected to office show up for work. You wouldn't think that the bar, I mean, if you're not here, Mike, if you're not here, Chris, that's a problem. So we shouldn't have to mandate that elected officials come to work. I came to work whether the environment was hostile or friendly, and there was more hostile than there was friendly, but here's what I can say. That old acronym, freedom isn't free, somebody has to stand in that gap and be a pioneer for reclaiming freedom in America. And that means then sacrifice in times of crisis. I put how I felt second to what needed to be done, the job in the county that needed to be done. People elected me to be there, and that's exactly what I was. I was present, I was willing to be transparent, and I was willing to take the bullets. There were a ton of people behind me, invisible, granted that, but said, could you please keep fighting? Because there was almost like a spiritual darkness, I can say, in there where that had to be, somebody had to stand for freedom and for moving that forward. And I'm proud to say I'm still here. And if we look at the last 2 years, as you've indicated, we've got, you know, the last number four going to retire out in April, May, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Some of what you were talking about there, is part of a new commissioner's agenda public application.
Yes.
That you've released. Can you
mm-hmm.
explain that to people?
Yeah. So I believe that people should be able to touch local government. We wanted people to know what was on the agenda. Anybody is welcome to come and sit and listen and observe a meeting, a hearing where there's testimony is an entirely different process. Mm-hmm. We are getting ready to kick off. This is one thing I forgot to send to you, but cookies with commissioners. My brainchild here several years ago was to invite the public to come and meet with commissioners, to be able to talk with them. We're going to do that again starting March 20th from 6 to 7:30 in the BOCC meeting room. And so with that transparency, It's just a different look. I don't know if I've answered your question or not.
Well, you probably just want Canyon County people to come to that, right?
You know, I don't care who comes because we want to be a leader.
I think where Chris was trying to lead into that, can we have cookies with Canyon County commissioners and Casper and Chris?
Yeah,
I
can.
You
know
what? Trying to lead into that.
I'll make a special trip over here this week, and I'll bring. I like you guys so much. You're so good to me on the radio.
KBOI News Time is 8:45. Once again, we're talking with Canyon County Commissioner Leslie Van Beek. We'll take a break for traffic here. When we come back, though, I want to get into the budget. What's in, what's out in the upcoming budget? We'll get to that next with Leslie Van Beek. Mr. Leslie Van Beek with us this morning. Over the last 5 or 6 minutes that we have with you, a couple of things that I'd like to get to. Number one, let's start out real quickly. Budget. What's in, what's out in the upcoming budget?
Well, what's in is transparency. So last year, the commissioners really did the heavy lifting with our chief operating officer. And the process is supposed to work where a suggested budget is presented and then feedback is given from the Board of County Commissioners. None of those suggestions were accepted by the clerk in the auditor's office. So we just took it over. We just flat went in and did the deep dive on 55 budgets. So we can expect greater transparency. We can expect that some of that double expensing maybe that we discovered in the budget, some of those salary things that were problematic, we've cleaned that up. That's a win for taxpayers. So in the production of this year's budget book, which I sent you a copy of, Mike, you can see the timelines that starts in May, and we're gearing up now in April. We'll be talking to directors and elected officials about what's going to happen in that process and what the needs really are. So historically, there was some suppression of some of the real needs. So when we don't hire patrol officers for 20 years in Canyon County, and yet the net taxable assessed value is more than doubled, we're $34 billion, you can see that the need for service is there. We had the presentation by the chief deputy for the sheriff. They've got broken guns. They don't have the proper shields and equipment. So we listened. We did the deep dive, and we said,
right,
we're the only ones that can approve this, and we're going to move forward with good government. So on some of that where we didn't take 3%, we didn't take new construction, but we did, and I hate to say that, but you put expenses in budgets that are inflated in lieu of taking what's approved, that's not transparent. That's a budgeting process I don't want to continue to embrace.
So when you say transparency, where would a Canyon County citizen be able to go for themselves? I know you sent this to us as talk show hosts.
Yeah.
But if I was sitting there at home listening this morning and I wanted to say, all right, what is this transparency process you're talking about? Is there a website that you can go to and get this information readily available that it wasn't before?
Yep. So www.canyoncounty.id.gov, go to elected officials, go to the clerk, go to the auditor. It's a little bit down the trail, but you can go in there and find the 2024 budget that was adopted on March 1st. So normally that happens after the final budget, but there was some drama again on that process. It was a very good process, full of integrity, but you get, again, the people that are just malcontents that would rather waste time than be involved in good government. That being said, you can find that budget. If you can't find it, get online and just click on the commissioners and request a copy of it. We'll send you a digital copy. You can come into the office, get a spiral bound copy. We'll make it readily available on the commissioner's page. It's there.
The Canyon County Sheriff's Office now has a public information officer, which
correct,
apparently they needed and didn't have before.
Yes, there's a lot going on with law enforcement in Canyon County. We've built those relationships, this board. So we recently toured the Nampa PD. We're hearing needs. One of the offices up for grabs this with the retirement of prosecutor is somebody that can prosecute. Right now, our prosecution rate's about 50%. We should be nationally about 92%. So commissioners hear about everything, and trust me, we're hearing from police chiefs, we need greater prosecution. So when I was talking to Chris Boyd this week, he said, you got to have two things. You got to have competence and you have to have moral courage. So he is the only candidate running with that kind of background. He's got currently prosecuting for Adams County. He's done rapes, murders, whatever you want. That's not desirable. He's in there fighting it out in the courtroom on a trial basis. You have to have somebody with that kind of competence because they have to train. It's train the trainers. You've got to train people in the courtroom to succeed. So when Chief Huff tells me we're arresting the same person 140 times in a year,
yeah,
that's a problem.
Not good. Also, there's a an election coming up in May that Canyon County voters will be going to the polls for. What's that election, and where do you fall on that?
Well, I will be on the ballot, and this will be, I'm seeking my third term. I love what I do. Even when it was hard, people would ask me, do you like what you do? Yes, I love it, because this is a way to make a difference for your community. I'm homegrown here, and so I can see the need. I have a pretty good business acumen and moxie in that, and I got a lot of grit, and so that's what it takes. This is a full contact sport, is what they say in politics. So I'm willing to stand in there and ask questions, even if I get beat up for it, and I'm willing to ask for the detail that supports that kind of documentation.
You also have a Canyon County ambulance district override levy. What's that about?
Well, the ambulance district, unless we do something to help them, they've been suppressed also nationally. And so they are going to need some help. They've got almost an $8 million proposal, but it's going to help retain staff. Otherwise, we're going to start cutting services. And what that means, if you've got somebody in a heart attack situation, they may or may not get there. The video is on our website. It's for the Canyon County thing. And so people need to go there and be informed about what they're voting for. They're voting for emergency services to continue in Canyon County.
How much is this going to cost me as a homeowner?
Well, it's about $2 a month.
Very quickly.
$100,000.
Yeah. And I want to put in a plug, too. I love working with my commissioner. Zach Brooks is always also on the ballot. He'll probably have something to say if I don't put a plug in for him. So
very quickly, the next hazardous waste disposal event is coming up Saturday.
Talking trash again. You guys know what's our favorite topic. So all kinds of stuff. It's on the landfill website. That is March 9th at the Fort Idaho Center. So the details of what you can bring. Our big joke is you can't bring ex-spouses there. But
no matter how hazardous. Okay.
Canyon County Commissioner Leslie Van Beek, great visiting with you, getting an update on Canyon County business. Once again, give us the website to go to for that. Do you have it off the top of your head before we say goodbye?
I do. www.canyoncounty.id.gov. If you can't find it, message me. I'd love to hear from the public.
Thanks. Thank you. Good to see you again.